Hey, welcome to The Table, a podcast committed to bringing you content that is both entertaining and informative, all while remaining holy. Now here's your host, Cody Dewitt.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I am your host, Cody Dewitt, and we are now officially in season two. And man, it is good to be back. Really enjoyed season one. It's been a blast, but now here we are. We have started season two, and you're still here. Thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate any and all support that you've given us. We appreciate all the feedback that we've received, and we want you to keep that coming. The best way to do that is really to leave a review on whether it be, wherever you listen to this, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts. If you don't want to do that, you can also reach out to us on social media. All the links will be down in the description of this podcast. We enjoy knowing what you like to listen to. I know that a lot of people enjoy the ministry interviews where we talk to different ministers, local ministers, and get their stories and such as that. But we also have some other content, such as more laid-back, just friendly, fun conversations. And that's what we've got today. I was joined by the one and only Mr. Rusty Daniels. And Rusty is a very, very good guy. He's a very interesting guy that does a lot of really cool things. We talked about picking. We talked about going out metal detecting and various things that he's found. And we just had a really, really good conversation. I know a lot of people enjoy these whenever we just kind of kick back and just talk. So that's what we've got coming your way today. And again, if you would like to let us know what else you would like to hear, please do so. We love any and all feedback, and we want to make The Table even better going forward. So without further ado, here is that conversation I had with Rusty Daniels. We hope you enjoy. The one and only Rusty Daniels.
Yes, sir. Yes,
What's
sir.
What's up, brother?
Oh, not a whole lot, man.
How was your day today, bro?
You know, it was one of those days that's it's been a crazy day.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you were to go tell anybody about your day, it'd just be really boring.
They would just stand there looking at you.
Yeah, like it's really? Been a very busy day, and there's been a lot going on, but it's been nothing like really fun.
Yeah,
like taking grandma to the dentist and taking the dogs to the groomers. Two separate dogs to two separate groomers.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
My grandma uses one groomer for her little dog, and my dad uses a different one for his.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to be going down the rabbit hole today. We're going to be talking about who knows what. I don't know. Do you know, Rusty?
We're just going to let the Lord lead us.
We're going to let the Lord lead us. And speaking of the Lord leading us, the Lord recently led me to make a decision that I, as of recording this, posted on social media. Rusty, as you know, we have a merch store.
Yes.
I don't believe I've officially talked about it on the podcast yet.
No, tell me more, please. I have no idea.
Well, we have a store.
Cody, let me tell you what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I need a coffee cup with a just wonderful made logo on the front of it. Where could I find such a thing?
Well, if you visited Cody Dewitt on Instagram, you could find a link. And in that link would be an opportunity for you to order said coffee mug.
So you mean you actually already have one of these?
Yeah, I do.
Man.
It's a thing, bro. And
wow.
And there's links, you know, or if you wanted to just really be the like that cool guy, you just check the description of this podcast. There it is.
There it is.
There it is. It's right there. You don't even have to go to Instagram.
And if you know, say tomorrow coffee is not my thing and I just want like a t-shirt, what about that?
Bro, I'm happy to tell you.
Don't blow my mind,
that
Cody.
We do have t-shirts.
Oh my gosh.
I did do something though. I've had the store up for a little bit and I realized very quickly that the store in its initial form was very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
We had many, many, many options. The way I did it was like, okay, here's this design, say mm-hmm. the logo. Now here's the logo on all these things.
Yeah.
And,
so you could buy like the table rubber ducky.
Just about. Yeah. You could literally buy like a ceramic block that had the logo on it. I don't want that.
I would buy that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I have a collection of ceramic blocks.
Oh, well, maybe. Okay. Well, we can talk after. Yeah. No, it was just too much. So what I did, I took the liberty of reducing the amount of things that can be purchased. I also took the liberty of reducing prices.
Aw.
Whoop, whoop.
That's good because I'm kind of not rich.
Same, actually.
Yeah.
That's a thing. So anyway, just the store is live. It's up. It's got, we have, as of right now, this particular recording, we have 3 t-shirts, three different designs, and of course the mug, because the mug has been one of the more popular things up to this point. So it's there, and I mentioned it on the post, but I'll go ahead and say it here. There's going to be more designs coming. Those are already in the works, but I still don't want to have too many at one time, so there's going to be things going in and out of rotation.
Right.
So, we'll be giving regular updates on that, but just wanted to throw that shameless plug in there for those of you that may be interested.
Absolutely.
So I was going to go somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what that was.
Cody, I think we went there, though.
Did we go there?
I think we fully went there.
Okay. I'm happy with it. You're happy with it, I'm happy with
it. My favorite t-shirt, by the way, is Praise the Lord, Everybody.
I love that shirt.
That's a great shirt.
That was my wife's idea. The particular, I don't know what that design is called, where it's like the letters are cut out of it and whatnot. To know what we're talking about, you'll have to go check it out on
my,
the store.
My third grade teacher had one of those machines that made those.
Really?
And she would label everything.
What is that called? Do you know?
I don't know. A label maker?
But it's like it's a specific type. People are probably screaming
at us
right now.
Had the little raised letters in it. And they were like white letters on a red piece of plastic with sticky tape on the back of it, and you just slap it on.
Just slap
anything.
It on there.
Yeah.
Well, we slapped it on a shirt, bro. We slapped Praise the Lord, Everybody on a shirt, and now you can wear it and greet people everywhere you go.
Yes.
People are going to be like, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked.
That's right.
It just gives you an opportunity to witness and also tell them about this show.
That's right.
There you go. So, Rusty, I encountered a predicament the other day that I was hoping you could help me with.
Oh, boy.
I would like to know more. My predicament was this. I know next to nothing about going picking.
Picking.
You do this.
Well, I've delved a little bit into it. I'm not, one of the people that you see on TV that goes and just, that's all you do. But more as a hobby. My father and my grandfather and my brother-in-law, Trey Bird.
Shout out to Trey.
Yep, shout out. We all got together and started, going to big barn sales and stuff like that and estate sales. And, I mean, it's just, they're few and far between the really good ones. But, you've got to be ready to go. Like, if you see somebody selling something on Facebook or Craigslist and it's just, like, a picture of one item that, it's obviously in a barn or something like that, just message them, hey, is there anything else out there for sale? Do you have, any old farm stuff laying around? Any old, signs, anything like that? And 99% of the time you get, no, that's all I've got is this, But that 1% of the time you'll get, actually, yeah, I've got a barn full of old stuff and I have nothing to do with it. So you want to come and look through it? Yeah. So, be open to asking about things, reach out to people. I mean, if you're driving down the road in the middle of the country and you pass a barn and there's an old man standing outside of it, stop and talk to him.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to get your foot in the door. And honestly, that's the hardest part, is getting your foot in the door. Once you actually get in, have a good idea of, what things are worth. Do your research. Some things there's no way of telling what a certain item's worth. It could be a one-off item, which a lot of people call folk art.
Yeah.
Just something that somebody made to do a chore back in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that somebody wants to hang on a wall now. And it could be worth $20. It could be worth $2,000. It's hard to say.
When you're determining the worth of something, does the sentimental value that the owner has with the object, do you have to account for that, or do you have
sometimes
to disregard
that? Sometimes you do, and I like to find out. There was a sale that we went to, and this lady was selling everything that belonged to her father. He had passed away, sadly. But I would have loved to meet this guy, and just through her, I got to understand a little bit more about him, mm-hmm. who he was. And he had just a massive collection of oil cans. And he had started collecting these oil cans back when he was a child. And you got to, you know, by talking to her, you know, she was pretty attached to him. And she's like, well, he's collected these all his life, you know. And I was interested in buying the entire collection. She's like, no, I can't do that. And the more you talk to her, the more you realize she was sentimental about it. And, you know, the value of the oil cans, they were all in great shape. And she did let me buy a few. And I got some really great ones. Mm-hmm. But the value she wanted on all of them wasn't worth what the cans were actually worth. But what was, you know, nice to hear was her story of, hey, he found this one here. And, you know, I was with him when he bought that one there. And we were digging through a big trash pile and found this one. And it was neat to hear that story. So that's another thing all to its own, is talking to the people that you're buying from. And if it's the original collector, then that's a treasure in itself.
Was it hard for her to part with those few?
It was.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
But it was hard for her to part with really everything.
Right.
Because everything this man owned was like gold. It was Picker's gold. He had bottle collections. He had like cooler collections. He had tool collections, knife collections, just absolutely everything. This man was a collector. And if somebody would have taken the time and actually, you know, went in and priced everything out and sold everything individually, they would have had millions of dollars worth of stuff there.
Wow, really?
We went down in her basement, and they had a like a safe room in the basement. And she took us down after the sale and let us look around in this room. It was full of guns and stuff, but one wall was nothing but cabinets and just like drawer after drawer after drawer. And you would pull open a drawer and it's absolutely full of old, I'm talking old, case knives.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like they're not the cheap chrome plated stuff that you find today, you know, not
the
$20 case knives. Yeah.
The real deal, man.
And I mean, he had thousands and thousands.
Oh my word.
And she told me that, cause I wanted to go and look through it and buy mm-hmm. a few, but she wanted to sell the collection whole. And she sold that collection for, I think she said like $6,000.
Oh my
and
word.
Just those knives, like there was probably two or three knives in there that could have easily been worth $6,000 alone.
Yeah,
you know, for just two or three knives.
Did she not know, or was it just?
I almost think she was overwhelmed.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because this man had acres and acres of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
My word. So what? When you're going through like old barns and stuff like that, do you ever worry about like snakes and rats
absolutely.
And stuff like that?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation?
My father did. We were in a barn one time, and he was like, there was stuff everywhere. You couldn't really even walk into this thing without stepping over junk.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's thing is tools. He loves tools. And as soon as you walk in, there's this huge cabinet that goes all the way to the ceiling, drawers all the way up to the top of it. And so he's just going through every single drawer. And like the doors are knocked off the barn, the windows are knocked out of it. There's just stuff everywhere. You can see there's been rats in there.
Nope, I'm out.
And he's going through these drawers, and he gets to one, and it's just right at nose level. And he pulls the drawer open, and out pops a huge chicken snake.
Oh no!
Yeah, right in his face.
Oh
and,
dear.
Like just instinct. He doesn't like. He's not afraid of snakes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But instinct was slam the door, you know?
Yeah.
And he did. And, like, it didn't kill the snake. I don't think it hurt it too bad, but he caught the snake's head in the drawer. And I had to actually open the drawer back up to release the snake. And he slithered out the back of the drawer or something like that. Because
he's fine.
But that whole drawer was full of snake. It was it was bad.
I started to say walk it off, but it's a snake. So
yeah. Well,
he's not going to walk anything off.
Right. It didn't stop Dad because he went right back to it. He next door and
mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope. I would have been done. I'd have been like, Rusty, let's go. It's over with. Like,
no.
There's no point in us staying here. What about you, though? Has it ever happened to you?
I've been digging through and come up with rats or spiders bugs and, you know, stuff like that. But it happens, and, like, you kind of expect it. You're looking for it to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, you're going to jump. Like, you pick up a box, and there's a big old wood rat underneath it. And, of course, he runs out and mm-hmm. runs right at you.
Oh, of course.
So,
yeah.
Because where else is there to run?
That's why I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because they run right at you.
It's really fun, though. If you can get over that, it's really fun. And you find some amazing things, stuff that, you know, it should be something that people get to admire.
Yeah.
And it's not being admired in this old barn, and it's falling down. And, if the wrong person gets in there, they'll just bulldoze the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really saving history,
yeah,
by going into these places and pulling out the old cool stuff.
Have you ever done any kind of metal detecting or anything?
I have. I love metal detecting. My father used to metal detect, and my grandfather, Lee Prine, they got into metal detecting when I was just a very young boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember we used to go down to this campground in Florida every year. And I can remember going with my dad and watching him swing that metal detector. And I thought he was getting rich because he would find money everywhere. He would find, pennies and nickels and dimes. And, he would just, it was fun to me because I was, oh man, you're finding free money. There's free money everywhere.
Right.
And he probably found $12 worth of quarters and pennies and nickels and dimes and stuff with a $400 metal detector.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, I really do enjoy doing that. And
I think that would be fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I think it would be fun, especially just to go to the right place where there's a possibility of finding something significant.
That's the hard part, is finding the right spot that hasn't been dug before.
Right, exactly. Man, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I found we were at, it was in Leakesville. We were in the hunting club. And some guys, in fact, it was the paper company. They had just come through, because all that is paper company land. And they had just come through and they cleared a bunch of stuff. And so there was a lot of land that had been overturned. And I'm walking to my stand, and I see the sun shining off of something. It's obviously a piece of glass. Well, I go to pick it up, and bro, it was a perfectly preserved old glass vanilla bottle.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the coolest thing to find.
Absolutely.
That. Because that, where I was at, we know for a fact that used to be an old home place.
Mm-hmm.
People live back there.
Yeah.
So it was cool to find that little piece of history. It's who used this, and what did they use it on?
Every piece has a story.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about it.
It's great, man. I like it.
Some people just see it as, oh, it's just old garbage junk.
Mm-mm,
but,
no.
Back then, they threw away things that you wouldn't think that normal people would throw away.
Yeah.
And, I've dug in bottle dumps even just recently. And went to a brother here at the church, went to his property, and he let me dig a dump that he found.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was a lot of old stuff, and a lot of broken bottles, but we were pulling out some really nice stuff.
Yeah.
And just, people didn't think about it back then. And these bottles today, some of those bottles are worth, $10, $20 a piece.
That's crazy.
And if you find the old mason jars and stuff, the old blue glass or green glass mason jars, those are worth a pretty good bit as well. And people just chunked them,
Wow.
They lost the lid for it or whatever. They said, oh, well, it's no good anymore. Just toss it.
Just toss it.
Mm-hmm.
No good. Wow. They say that everything is for sale.
Yeah.
Do you have anything, do you own anything that to you is just absolutely not for sale no matter what the price is?
I do have a few things that... Well, I've got things that are not for sale, things that are sentimental to me, but I've got things that it would take a lot of money to get them out of my possession, and not like they're worth a whole lot, but it's just interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I found, I can't even remember where I found it at now, but I might not have even known exactly what it was when I bought it, but it was a first aid kit off of a Jeep from World War II. And, it's slam full of stuff. You open it up and it stinks because it's got all that old junk in it, But everything's perfectly preserved. The paint's still on it. It's a hand-painted, just Army OD green first aid kit. But, all the white lettering and, the hospital symbol and all that is all hand-painted on it. That's one piece that, it's probably not worth more than $100, but I'd never sell it.
Yeah.
Just because it's cool and there's a story behind that.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to show me that one day.
I will.
I love that kind of stuff, man.
Sure will.
Because and you and I are a lot alike in this way. I look at that and that's the first thing I think about is the story.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it come from?
Right.
Who used it? I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
And some of my favorite stuff is old military stuff. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You once found, I think it was you. Was it you that found the huge suitcase that you gave to Tyler?
I did not give that to Tyler. I sold that to Tyler.
You sold that to Tyler. Oh, so yeah. So he bought it.
He bought it.
Oh,
well. I think he bought it for $20.
That's funny.
And I mean, the first rule of picking is you don't have any shame. Like, if you're driving by the road and you see somebody throwing stuff out, you can't have shame. You've got to stop and look at it. And I mean, I have made pretty good money off of, oh, look, there's an old table by the road.
Yeah.
And picked the table up off the side of the road. Nothing wrong with it. It turns out it's like a 150-year-old European table. Sell it for $200.
Wow.
You know, like, yeah.
That's crazy.
You just got to get out there. But with that incident with Tyler, I was on my way to pick up a friend for church and drove by this house, and there was just tons of suitcases, like old vintage suitcases out by the road. So I stop and pick them all up. When I get to church, I'm showing people, and Tyler's like, oh, my gosh, I've got to have that suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, you know? It's got a price.
It's got a price. And he got a good deal.
He loves that suitcase. He still has it. He still uses it.
It was a really good one.
It is nice. It's very nice. It's big.
It's hard to think that somebody would throw that stuff away.
I wonder why they did that.
There's no telling. And it's actually sad. Like, I've found stuff before, like, you know, just driving by, see stuff on the side of the road, and you stop and pick it up, and it's got, you know, like somebody's life in it. We've got one box of stuff that I don't know what to do with, but it's got enlistment papers for the military from like 1919.
Wow.
Of somebody's grandfather when they enlisted, and letters that he wrote to his mother from boot camp, and letters that she wrote him back. And talking about, you know, hey, I just got a promotion, and just amazing stuff. There's amazing history there. It's nobody in my family. I have no idea, you know, how to reach these people.
Right.
And, I mean, you find stuff like that that doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, but how can I throw it away?
Well, and that's another thing is, like, to somebody out there, unless their whole family just, you know, died out,
yeah,
that would be a treasure,
right?
But we just don't know who they are,
right?
Man, that's unfortunate.
It is.
That is really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Would it be worth giving that to like a museum or something?
I've actually thought about it, and I've talked to one of the curators at the museum at I think it's Camp Shelby,
mm-hmm.
and they said that they might be interested in it, but it's just hard to tell.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost contact with that person. But I've still got everything at the house, and I'm not going to throw it away.
No, definitely
so
not.
There's always an option to do that again.
I would imagine it would be more difficult to attach value to it, not knowing who it is.
Right, yeah.
Which is unfortunate that we don't have that information. But, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think now that you mentioned that, I remember you showing me pictures of that or something. That's really great.
Yep.
Wow, my goodness. I could talk about this all day, bro.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff.
It really is. My goodness. Well, transitioning to a different topic because I could talk about this all day.
Me too.
We're sitting here now, and we have, of course, the table.
Mm-hmm.
We have headphones on, and we're talking into microphones. I need your opinion on something.
What's that?
I'm looking into possibly getting some headsets.
Okay.
Now, what it would be literally these particular headphones that I'm wearing right now, but right over here, coming off of one of the ears, it's like a little arm that comes around and a mic.
Kind of like a gaming headset?
It is. It's like that design, but it's not a gaming headset.
So it's better?
It's better, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like what Dave Ramsey used. I don't know if you've ever watched any of his
videos.
His is a high quality Sennheiser that I'm not going to get.
Right.
But these, I've listened to a couple of podcasts like that I know for a fact use these, and the audio is pretty good. Would you, as a guest that's here now, would you prefer something like that over having to stay like in a particular? Because see, with that, you could set the mic where you want it to be,
right?
And you could just move
all
around, and it would still be the same. You know, it would still sound like this.
Dude, you could we can get recliners and
I'm working on it, buddy. I'm so working
on it. Lazy boy.
Bro, I have.
Would you change the name of the podcast to The Lazy Boy instead of The Table?
No, because there would still be a table that holds the laptop. I've already thought about it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
See, I have this dream studio, and it does very much involve couches and recliners.
I like that.
And it would, before I thought of the the headset idea, it involved microphones with boom stands, like that one over there in front of the keyboard,
yeah.
where you could just sit back in the recliner and you can just bring that boom stand, adjust it in such a way that it's just right in front of you, like total comfort. That's going to happen one day. So, but yeah, I'm talking to people about it. I think that those headsets would be ideal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be great.
Try it out.
Going to have to. Saw today, and I mentioned this earlier, I saw today that the nacho fries are going away.
Yeah.
You made a statement about the nacho fries that I'm curious about.
Well, I haven't gotten to try them as much as I would like to. I've only had them once.
You've had them once.
And that's one time since they were invented.
Yeah, the original launch.
Yeah. And I think it was like I was going to Taco Bell to get Emily some food, and I'm just like, oh, well, that looks interesting, and I got them. But I don't eat at Taco Bell a lot. I love Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I really do. But I just don't eat there a lot.
Right.
So, I mean, if I ate there more, I'd probably, you know, they were good. I loved them.
Yeah. Brother like Dobbs loves them.
The cheese dip.
So good.
It's good, man.
It's so good. Brother Dobbs, he had some for the first time the other day. And this man was rejoicing over some nacho fries. So I'm really enjoying these. These are great.
They are.
It was fantastic. There's a lot of people who think, oh, well, it's just fries. No, it's not. They're not. Like, they are fries, but it's the combination of the seasoning, the particular seasoning they use,
yeah.
and that cheese dip.
Well, the fries are good by themselves.
Yeah, they
are. And then anything is good with Taco Bell cheese dip.
Yes, Lord.
So,
oh, my goodness.
I mean, you could eat that on pizza.
Yes.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, you could put that on stuff that doesn't necessarily need cheese dip.
But it, you know, it's
like candy canes.
Candy canes?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
A crunchy candy cane with cheese dip.
Man, when was the last time you had a candy cane?
Probably when I was like 4 years old.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me too. They used to have those different, what were they? Not the mint ones, but they had like the actual candy tasting ones.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah, there used to be a restaurant that would sell them.
Really?
I can't remember. Yeah, it was kind of like one of those like home style restaurants, and you go up to the cash register, and it's got like all the different candy canes and stuff
right there. By the,
is it? It's not Cracker Barrel.
Is it Cracker Barrel?
It is Cracker Barrel.
I think. I don't know. I don't really go to Cracker Barrel that much.
I don't either.
Cracker Barrel is kind of underwhelming to me.
Is it?
Yeah. First of all, I'm not a huge breakfast person.
Right.
And I don't know anything. I feel like that anything that I would get at Cracker Barrel, I could go get better at some other place.
Possibly.
You know?
It's affordable. That's what I like about it.
It is affordable. Now, that's a plus for sure. And they do have good biscuits.
Yeah, they do have good biscuits.
I will say that.
Yeah.
It's just, like even now thinking about Cracker Barrel, I'm like, well.
Yeah.
So, Rusty, I've asked you this before, and we're going to do it. We're going to go here. I've asked you this before, and you've stated that you do, in fact, believe in Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
All right.
Have you ever seen anything?
No, I've never seen him personally or one of them, because I do think that there's more than one.
Absolutely.
Even though, you know, we say, okay, the Bigfoot or Sasquatch, you know. But there's probably a whole bunch of them. No, I've never seen one. I'm still waiting for my Sasquatch experience. Now, here recently, not too far from here on Highway 26, there was a man driving a big truck, and something came out in the road ahead of him and caused him to wreck that truck. He said it was definitely not a deer, it wasn't a dog. He said he has no idea what it was, but it was some kind of big, tall, hairy animal.
We brought that up not too long ago.
Really?
And I don't know. Those ruts are still there.
They are.
He hit the brakes, bro.
It scared him.
It scared that man.
It did.
And I'm not saying it was a Sasquatch, but I'm just saying.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
Not saying it wasn't. You know, I wasn't there. I heard a guy the other day, and it's fun to talk about, and I've made it clear plenty of times on here. I don't subscribe to the half human, half ape thing.
Yeah.
I think it's an ape.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what it is. With that being said, it's not crazy to believe that there are species out there that have yet to be discovered, especially when something is good at hiding.
Right.
So, but I heard a guy that brought up an interesting theory the other day. He thinks that they somehow have a way of digging holes and going underground.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it seems very impractical.
Yeah, it would be impractical. And I've never seen just like a big gaping hole that a Sasquatch can crawl in and
right.
out of.
Yeah. You know? That would be something. Hey, look at this hole over here. Then yeah. here comes a Sasquatch coming out of it.
Right.
Man, oh, man. I have seen people report finding like, I don't know what you would call it, I guess boneyards, like where mm-hmm. they would repeatedly, like they get something, like they've been... there was one in particular that got a lot of attention where the different, because it's just bones in the woods is all right. it is, but it's all in like one area.
Mm-hmm.
And they found like horse, cows, deer, mm-hmm. dogs, like all these things. And it was up on an elevated, you know, yeah. position. And you've got a horse,
yeah.
you know, bones up there. It's like, okay, let's say it's not a Sasquatch. What is it?
Right.
You know? What yeah. was that?
I think I would rather it just be a Sasquatch.
I think I would definitely rather it be a Sasquatch
yeah.
because, yeah, but it's just fun to talk about, man.
It is.
Like me and Robbie will text back and forth every now and then, just be like, "Well, I thought it was happening," you know.
Because mm-hmm.
the other day, most recent one for me was last week. I was driving down. What road was I on? Oh man, I don't know where I was, but I was working. It was in the middle of the day, and I did notice. Up front, maybe 200 yards ahead of me,
yeah.
I see this mailbox, and I know that it's a mailbox. It's one of those big mailboxes. And then something just starts walking out. But mm-hmm. it was in the shadows. It was a man. But that initial reaction was, what is that? There it is. And that, I don't know what that says about me. I think that's kind of sad that my first reaction wasn't, oh, there's a person. My first reaction was, is this it?
Yeah.
Is it happening?
I think, like, honestly, like, a lot of people out there are probably, you know, oh, they're joking about this. This, like, but no, seriously, like, not in, you know, a heavily populated area. Like, no, I don't think that there's Bigfoot, you know, right here in the middle of Wiggins, Mississippi.
Right.
But there's a lot of woods around here. There's a lot of swamp around here. There's places in South Mississippi that there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
It is very, very seldom that people track through the swamps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Out around, you know, Bendale and Loosedale and all those places. They've got a lot of swamps out there.
Right.
So, you know, it's very, very possible for something to be out there people just don't see.
Yeah. And they do see, but mm-hmm. then you're immediately put into this camp of, if yeah. I say anything,
right.
I'm now in that camp.
Right.
But when there are places in the world mm-hmm. where you can get in on a jet and you can fly for hours and you're just over woods the whole
right.
time, there is no way
yep.
that we know everything yep. that's out there in those woods.
And like somebody asked me the other day, there's like, well, what about trail cameras? There's never been one on a trail camera and stuff like that. Well, how many trail cameras go missing?
Right.
Like, something like that could be sensitive to, like, you know, electricity and like, it could know, oh, there's something there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that with me.
I've heard that.
So, I mean, how many people are like, man, my trail camera's gone?
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy, man. I'll be honest with you. Part of me really does want to see one.
Absolutely.
But then there's another part of me that just doesn't want to. Because I feel like, well, in fact, I know me. I would immediately get out a microphone and start recording, be like, listen, people. I saw it. It happened. You know?
I know what I don't want to happen. I don't want to be in the woods by myself when I do see one.
No.
Like, preferably in a vehicle with a loaded gun, you know, and somebody else in the vehicle with me who also has a loaded gun and knows how to use it. Because, yeah, I don't know, like, what is the price on a Sasquatch head right now? I don't know if I would even shoot it. I don't know if I could. I might just be, you know, overwhelmed and not be able to function.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, there's a belief, you know, there's a community. I don't necessarily subscribe to being a part of the Sasquatch community.
Right.
But there is one.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that there is a government cover-up on Sasquatch. Because if it was ever officially recognized as a species,
mm-hmm.
which it actually has been once by the United States Army, this was back in, I think, like the early 50s or 60s, something like that.
Hmm.
But if it ever was officially recognized, first of all, the logging industry would be done.
Yeah.
because then you would have PETA stepping up and saying, well, here's this new, you can't do this anymore because.
Can't cut down the Sasquatch's trees.
Exactly. Where is he going to live and blah, blah, blah. So there's been stories of people who have no reason to lie that say, hey, this that happened, I shot the thing. Next thing I knew, three guys in unmarked cars were showing up and saying, you saw a bear.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, no, that wasn't a bear. You saw a bear.
You saw a bear.
Yeah. You saw a bear. And everybody else here saw a bear.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, okay. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never had that happen to me. I've never met anyone that's had that happen to them.
No.
But there are people who say they have.
Yeah.
Who am I to tell them that they're wrong? You know?
You've got my mind going now. Like, I just want to see a PETA commercial saying, save the Sasquatch.
Save the hashtag save the Squatch.
Like, PETA, what are you spending your money on?
Right, right.
Save Sasquatch, PETA.
What they need to do is go out there and shell some butter beans and feed folks that's trying to eat.
Right.
Instead of chasing after hunters that are out there doing stuff like the Hush program.
Exactly. Leave chickens alone. Chickens are delicious. All right.
Chickens are wonderful, man. They are so good, bro.
Man, speaking of chickens, we just came into a bunch of them.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Man, all right. So, Brother Trey, his grandfather lives over in Citronelle, Alabama. And we went over there to visit him, and he was just talking to his grandpa, like, you know, I'd like to get some more hens. He already had three of them. And he said, I'd really like to get some more hens. And his grandpa said, okay, yeah, no problem. Like, I know a guy. I'll get you some. Don't worry about it. How many do you want? And Trey said, probably about 10. That'd be a nice number. So he said, okay, great. Well, Trey called me the next night and called me from the hospital. Him and my sister were in the hospital. They had just had baby Jace.
Because Jace is here now.
Jace is here.
Yes.
Yep. I've been spending a whole lot of time with him. He's awesome. We'll get back to that later.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But anyway, so he calls me from the hospital, and he's like, Rusty, we've got a dilemma. And I said, oh, no, hold on. Like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. First of all, Christina's fine. Jace is fine. I'm like,
thank the Lord.
Man, you had me worried. Things you don't say when you're at a hospital.
Exactly.
We've got a dilemma.
We've got a dilemma.
So I'm like, okay, Trey, what's going on? He's like, we've got to go to Grandpa's house first thing in the morning. And I said, okay, no problem. Let's go. He's like, well, not no problem. He's like, he got me some chickens. And I said, okay, that's not a problem. We wanted chickens. He's like, yeah, but like I was talking to him, and he said, hey, I got you those chickens like you was wanting, and but you're gonna have to come over here and get them pretty quick. And he said, well, why so quick? Why, you know, I'm still in the hospital. He's like, well, they're all pinned up in a cage in the back of my truck. They don't have much room to move. And he said, well, how many did you get? And he said, well, probably about 50 or 60. And Trey said, Grandpa, I wanted 10. I wanted 10 chickens.
Oh, goodness.
And he said, well, I got you 50 or 60. Man, we got over there the next morning. We got up early. We took Trey's truck, went and picked Trey up, and we eased over there. And, dude, let me tell you what. These was 60 of the wormiest, nastiest, no-feather-having, ugly, stinky chickens.
What in the world?
Just, I mean, they were... they had been picking out their feathers and stuff. And what it is, they were actually Chick-fil-A chickens. They came from the farm that supplies Chick-fil-A, and these were the culls that Chick-fil-A didn't want. So it's like, you're not good enough for a sandwich, so we're just going to leave you here.
Not only are you not good enough for a sandwich, you're not good enough for a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Dude, I'm telling you. So we... unload these chickens from his truck to our truck, and Trey counts them. There are 65 chickens.
65.
Yes. And we put them all in one rather large dog kennel, but still a dog kennel.
Right.
The chickens were not happy. They were not exactly healthy.
Well, they've been rejected.
Not all of them. Yes. I mean, you know, they're probably depressed because, like, man, I didn't make the cut.
If Chick-fil-A, you know, rejects you.
It's like they will never get to experience that wonderful sauce. And that's sad. Let's take a moment. Hold on. Just a moment of silence for those chickens.
Thank you, Rusty.
Yeah.
That was great.
I just got a little emotional there.
Yeah.
So... we get these 65 chickens, and my girlfriend's father is with us, and so I'm talking to him on the way home, and I'm like, look, you got to take some chickens, you know. We don't need 65 chickens. He's like, well, we might take a couple of them, you know, we'll just one or two maybe. And by the time I got to his house, I had them talked up to six. And by the time I left his house, I gave him 12 of them.
Nice.
Now, that being said, four of his died immediately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So out of 12, you know, it's not a great start.
No, we're off to a bad start.
One of them, like, we knew this chicken, like, bless his little heart, man. His beak was crooked. The top of his beak and the bottom of his beak did not line up whatsoever. It was a V.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Is that like a birth defect or did he get injured?
I have no idea. I can only assume that he got injured.
Probably.
But, I mean, it didn't look right. And I'm like, bless his heart, man. You're like, he's going to die. You know, he ain't going to make it. But we're going to give him the best life that we can possibly give him while he's still here. Man, that's the one chicken that's still doing great at Kevin's house.
Really?
It is. He said he does fine. He can eat. He can run.
He's like, happy.
He's happy with a crooked beak.
So once a chicken has been rejected from Chick-fil-A, is there a possibility of redemption? Like, can they become healthy, delicious chickens?
It's possible. Well, they do. In fact, they do, because what the people do at the chicken house after these chickens have been rejected is they open the doors, let them out in the field, and the coyotes eat them. That is what the man told them. He's like, yeah, they're just going to be coyote food. We let the coyotes come in and take them out.
Coyotes got to eat, bro.
Yeah.
Coyotes got to eat.
But once again, they don't have the sauce. They don't have the Chick-fil-A sauce.
They don't need it, man. They just glad to have chicken. Have you seen that? When was the last time you saw a pretty coyote? Them boys are struggling, too.
Yeah.
They got the mange going on. They skinny.
Yeah.
They glad for the chicken.
We've got them bad out there by the house now.
Bro, we can thin those out.
We need to.
We can. It can happen.
I'm currently staying with Trey while my father's going through some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out the other night, or actually, we were sitting in the living room. And Trey just walks through the living room, grabs a shotgun, and heads out the back door. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? You know, some excitement.
Yeah.
So I get up. And as soon as I walk out back, I can hear the coyotes just going crazy. They're all over the place. And we've got all of our, you know, now like 53, 52 chickens left, you know. Actually, it's less than that because a couple of ours died as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all the chickens in the chicken coop, you know, they're safe. And but the coyotes, they know they're there.
Yeah.
And they can hear them, you know, running around and making all their chicken noises and stuff. So we get out there, and Trey gets up in the back of his truck, and he just stands there, and you can hear the coyotes running through the woods like 30 feet away from us.
Bro.
They never came out, but he was waiting to pop one.
Y'all should have called me, man.
We should have.
We could have got out there and just, you know, sacrificed one of them, let him out. and that would have been fun. Coyotes are bad, bro.
They are.
Like, they are really, you know, I know they got to live, and they, you know, they're doing all they can to survive, but they are really, really bad.
They are.
They mess up a lot of people's lives.
Mm-hmm. They take pets and...
Yeah, they take pets, and if they will eat a child, like, if they can catch it at the right time,
right.
You know. I think that's actually been done. I've read stories about that.
But there's countless people that have lost their family pets and stuff to them, and it's just... And if a person gets bit, you can get rabies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even if the coyote doesn't kill you, the rabies could.
It's like a rejected wolf.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like wolves are a little bit majestic. Coyote is not like that.
And wolves are huge.
Yeah, they are.
Like, really, really big. Coyotes are just ugly and
half-starved dogs.
Yeah, like they're just there, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I was hunting one time, and I never, like... I don't like to sit for a long time when I'm hunting,
mm-hmm.
but if I do, I'm there for the long. I'm not going to sit there, and something's going to die.
Yeah,
you know, if I've sat there for a long time and all there is doe out there, she's going home with me.
Yeah,
that's just all there is to it.
Right,
because we always hunt private land, so it's like okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
Well, I say that as if I still hunt. Back when I used to hunt.
Exactly.
Because I don't get to go anymore. Anyway, I've been sitting there for a long time. Bro, I've been there for hours. And it's getting to be, I'm hunting in the evening, in the afternoon, into the evening. it's getting to be that time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's almost, we're almost there. It gets real still, and all of a sudden, just the ugliest, mangiest coyote you've ever seen in your life comes trotting across the grass patch.
Yep.
The hunt's over. Yep. No deer is going to come out there now.
No.
I was too mad to even shoot him, bro. Yeah. I just watched him because he just mm-hmm. zipped across. And but, oh, coyotes. They're, oh, Wiley.
Yeah.
Oh, Wiley. I'm just thinking about coyotes.
He never
now.
Did catch that Roadrunner.
He never did catch
never
him.
Never caught him.
That's sad, man. Yeah. We never did get closure with that.
No.
Did you ever see, I can't believe I'm about to ask this question. Did you ever see the Tom and Jerry bit where they spoke?
I can't say that I have.
I think it was an official full-length movie that was released or something like that, but
not one of the originals then.
No, not one of the originals. It was a later on deal, but they spoke.
Yeah.
And they spoke to each other and were both alarmed that it had happened.
Really?
And they pointed out the fact, well, you never talked before.
Yeah.
And one of them said, well, I just never figured that I would say anything that you would be interested in hearing.
Yeah.
And I remember being a kid, because they showed it to us in school. Mm-hmm. I was in elementary school. And I remember being a kid, and I'm like, this is just wrong.
Yeah.
They're not. Tom and Jerry are not supposed to talk. Wiley's not supposed to catch the Roadrunner.
Right.
Elmer Fudd is not supposed to shoot bugs.
Yeah.
We need to watch some old Bugs Bunny one
Dude,
of these days, bro.
What happened to cartoons?
Man.
Like, that's the stuff I grew up on, and now you got Gumball and all this crazy.
I don't know what that is.
Morty and Rick.
I don't know what that is.
It's horrible, man. I'm sorry. Look, people. Some people out there are going to get offended by saying the Rick and Morty and the Gumball and all that stuff. It's just not me. If that's your thing, that's your thing. I'm, you know, go for it. It ain't mine.
No.
I like Tom and Jerry. I like the original Looney Tunes and stuff like that, you know. I mean, I'm 33 years old now, and if I'm scrolling through and see Tom and Jerry, guess what? I'm going to watch Tom and Jerry.
Going to watch it.
So.
I don't even know what these cartoons are. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I legitimately don't know what these are.
Yeah.
Because I'm that much not interested.
Yeah.
You know. I did, you know, I watched Bugs Bunny, you know, I loved Taz and oh man, and Space Jam when it had basketball, you know, Michael Jordan and Looney Tunes, man, that was
in middle school for that. I loved it.
That was my dream, bro. Dude,
like every other t-shirt that I had Taz on it.
I
loved some Taz. Matter of fact, my first truck was a 1989 Chevrolet S10, and the first thing that I bought for it, because I can't leave anything stock, you know, first thing I bought for it was a Marvin the Martian windshield banner.
Nice.
That was my dude.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Marvin the Martian.
That's right.
Man, we're throwing it back today, bro.
Yeah.
Talking about Tom and Jerry and Marvin.
The good stuff.
The good stuff, man. The quality, and that was real animation.
It was.
There wasn't no computers.
Like, everything you saw, somebody had to hand draw.
They
that.
Had to draw that, bro.
Yeah.
It was a true talent. But not saying that this, you know, this is just a different kind of talent.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, it's still very much, you know, talent, but that was just like, and then you had, what was his name? The guy that did like the original voice of Bugs Bunny did like 60,000 other voices too. Like, that's just unbelievable talent.
It is. It really is. And but like you said, the modern day animators, like with the Incredibles movies and stuff like
that. Oh
my
word, dude.
It's amazing what they can do.
It is.
Like, it. I remember watching like one little clip of it, and it said like they worked on this clip, and it was like a 15 to 20 second clip. That, like, they worked on this for a year.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it's ridiculous.
But it's so good when it comes out. Like, the quality is there. I saw thing. What were you saying?
Oh, no. I'm 33 years old, and I still get excited when Pixar comes out with a new movie. So, I mean, I love it.
What about that Toy Story 4, bro?
I'm going to watch it.
You're going to watch it?
I'm going to watch it.
That's closure right there, man.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now, though. I'm going to make a prediction right here on the podcast. And I'm not spoiling anything, because if you watch the trailer, you know that certain characters are back. If you don't want to know what I'm about to say, then now's your chance to skip forward. I started to say turn it off. Don't turn it off. Just skip forward. Have you seen the trailer? Did you watch it?
It's like they're at an amusement park or something
like but,
that.
But like you saw
like
that.
They're in a booth where it's like a, you know, one of those rigged games that they
play.
Something like that.
Bo Peep is back.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now. She's the bad guy.
She's the bad guy?
She's the bad guy. And not only is she the bad guy, but she's going to be turned back into a good guy.
Really?
Yeah. That's just my prediction, bro. When I watched the full-length trailer, I was like, the twist is going to be that she's the bad guy. But because it's Toy Story.
Right.
And because it's Bo Peep, at the end, she's going to be...
I remember Emily.
Back.
Emily was telling me something about Bo Peep. She wasn't very happy that like she wasn't the traditional Bo Peep with like the big long dress and
she's
stuff
got
like
a,
that.
Yeah, she's got an updated design. Mm-hmm. I guess the movie calls for that. I'm not sure, but
there's probably a reason behind it.
There's got to be.
Yeah,
because they, you know, it probably took them 6 years to remake that.
Exactly.
Not literally, but my goodness, I'm excited about it. I hope that they keep it clean and don't put anything. You know, just for the sake of doing it, you know, don't put anything in there that's
the way it's leaning. Like, there's more and more adult humor in children's cartoons.
It's just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know? That's like, not to talk about it again, I know I've talked about it a lot, but like one of the main reasons for this podcast was like I think it was Sarah I was talking to. I was like, I want people to be able to turn it on with their kid in the room.
Right.
And not have to worry about the kid being in the room.
Exactly.
You know? Or turn it on, like you can sit down with your pastor and listen to it. Even us talking about Sasquatch, it's just fun to talk about. Like, I'm not over here, you know, like saying, oh, it's half man and it's half. No, it's
an. And if you are out there listening and you don't believe in Sasquatch, that's
okay. Okay.
We're not trying to get you to believe in Sasquatch.
Right. And it's not something that you would talk about like over the pulpit, but
right.
just sitting around just talking, man, like what if, you know? You just it's just a fun thought. Rusty, I've enjoyed myself.
I have too, man. This has been really nice.
I always like getting together and talking with you. You're a scholar and a gentleman.
I don't know about the scholar part. I do try to be a gentleman.
You are a gentleman, man. You're a really nice guy. One of my favorite people to be around. I mean that.
Well, the
sincerely.
Feeling is mutual, Cody.
Thank
I like
you, bro.
Being around myself as well.
You like being around yourself as well?
No, man. You're
well, that's good.
You're a great guy and, like, just genuine. I mean, for everybody listening, like, who you're listening to on this podcast, that's who Cody is in real life. Like, he is a genuine person. He is down to earth. Like, if you know him, you know, he'll do anything for you. Cody's a great guy.
Well, I appreciate it, bro. I won't want to go crawl in a hole now, but I appreciate it very much, man. I've enjoyed it. We talked about doing this, I think it was like last week, but then so many things happened for both of us. But we were able to make it happen today.
Yep.
We are freshly into season two, officially.
Dose.
Not holo dose. What was that? What is that? Numero dose.
Numero dose.
Numero dose. And I'm half Hispanic, and I couldn't even say it right. But we said it right just then.
Yeah,
we made it happen. Season two, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We got more stuff coming down the line in the very near future. Some more great interviews, fun conversation, and just all kinds of different things. If you enjoy it, let us know by spreading the word.
Yeah,
do that. Write a review.
Yeah, do that.
Reach out to us.
Call Cody. His personal cell phone number is.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Table. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to subscribe. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by rating and leaving a review. You can also support us on Patreon. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.